Now, the idea of thinking of time as a dimension of space or like space may be kind of strange. Is it really like a dimension of space? It turned out that what Minkowski saw was that it wasn't quite like a dimension of space. It was like, now get this, an imaginary dimension of space. This is another Twilight Zone moment, doodle-loodle, because what it said is that you can write down the kinds of formulas relating sides to each other on a triangle, Pythagorean theorem, all that kind of stuff that you did in high school geometry. You can do the same thing using space-time rather than just space, provided you imagined that one of the dimensions of the triangle, for example, in a Pythagorean right triangle, was an imaginary dimension. Now, what do I mean by imaginary? I mean that it is a number that you get when you take the square root of minus one. Now, I talked about that before. What do I mean by an imaginary number, the square root of minus one? I mean that when you square an imaginary number, the square root of minus one, you get minus one. Now, normally when you square any number, positive or negative, you get a plus number, like minus 5 times minus 5 is plus 25. Plus 5 times plus 5 is plus 25. But in order to get a minus number when you square a number, you have to use something called imaginary numbers. And these imaginary numbers are very strange. Now, you know the Pythagorean theorem. I'm going to risk that you can use your mind for a moment to imagine what it means to create the Pythagorean theorem, just to give you an idea. You know that a Pythagorean theorem is the relationship of the sides of a right triangle to the hypotenuse. Now, the right triangle is made when you take a line, then you erect another line perpendicular to it. It makes a 90 degree angle between the two lines, and the hypotenuse is a line you get when you draw the line which connects the endpoints of the other two lines. So that's called the hypotenuse. You can kind of imagine that. It's like the slant. You got the two right lines, and then you got the slant. In space-time, one of those lines is an imaginary number. Now, the relationship of the sides to the hypotenuse in a real triangle is the following. If one side has the length A and the other side has the length B, then the hypotenuse, which has the length C, is equal to, when squared, a squared plus b squared. So c squared is a squared plus b squared. To give you an example, if one side is 3 and the other side is 4, then the fifth side, the hypotenuse, would be 5. Because 3 squared is 9, 4 squared is 16, 16 plus 9 is 25, the square root of 25 is 5. So 3, 4, 5 is a typical right triangle. But in space-time, it's an imaginary 3 and a 4. And then you don't get 5. You get something very different. Because now you take imaginary 3 squared, that's equal to minus 9. And then you take 4 squared, that's 16. And it's 16 minus 9, which I think is 7, that's c squared. So the hypotenuse actually is less. Now, what does that mean? What it means, and what Einstein was able to realize, is the hypotenuse is actually the line that light would travel if the sides of the two triangles were exactly the same. So if one was 3 and the other was 3, then you have 3 squared, which is 9. You'd have minus 3 squared, that's minus 9. You'd get 0. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is that saying? That's saying that not only does light have this mysterious property that it's the same for all observers, light itself experiences nothing. The time between the emission of light and the time in which the light is received, no matter how far it seems to go for us, as far as light's concerned, it's zero time. In other words, for light, the birth of light and the death of light is the same event. They both happen simultaneously for light. Not only is that true, but the space that light travels through is also zero. So what we have here is a very bizarre situation in which light has this very mysterious property of appearing and disappearing at exactly the same time, exactly the same place, no matter how far it appears to travel from our point of view. So here we are in this universe in which there's distances, there's space, there's time, there's infinite, seemingly infinite amount of space, seemingly very long periods of time, billions of years, and yet for the light that left the Big Bang that happened to reach our eyes, which is like for us 15 billion years ago, for that light, the Big Bang and the moment in which it hit our eyes is exactly the same time. This is so mind-boggling. Now, what happens if you start to go at a speed less than the speed of light? Well, then it turns out that the time begins to slow down. Because if it's zero at the speed of light, it's, let's say you're going 0.9999999, the speed of light. Well, then that time interval might be a second. For us, it might be 15 billion years, but for the light or for the thing moving at that speed, it would only be maybe 1 second. If it's going a little bit slower, it might be 10 seconds. If it's going much slower, it might be a year. If it's going at normal speeds, like what we travel at, say 5 miles an hour or something like that, it would be close to 15 billion years. So in other words, moving clocks go slow and they stop when they move at the speed of light. And that's what relativity was telling us. It was also telling us that because of this, we had to rethink our whole concept of what space and time are and what and how these dimensions would work. And it also introduced something new. And that's what we're going to explain next.